Blog Talk Radio.
Let your hands for Angela.
All right, listeners, you're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I apologize for the technical difficulties I was having earlier. The guest on the show is Miss Christine, who's the author of Laughing Through the Tears. How are you, Christine?
I am wonderful.
I apologize to you about the website.
That's okay. I know these things happen, and it's nothing you can do. It's technology, so I understand, and I was still standing by waiting for it to be resolved.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much. We're going to start the interview over from the beginning, okay?
Okay.
All right. Before we talk about your illustrious career in television and theater, let's talk about your novel. The title, Laughing Through the Tears, is interesting. Can you tell the listeners what this book is about and why did you choose this title?
The book is about taking care of my husband of 45 years who was diagnosed with dementia after 35 years and what I went through taking care of him. I chose the title because through my exasperation and denial, I was very upset most of the time. And my son tried to get me to laugh because he said some of the things that my husband was doing was indeed quite funny. And he told me that I would be able to get through it if I just look at it in a more humorous way, which I was having a hard time doing. So one day when I had just gone my limit and my husband had did something that really upset me, and I called my son and told him, he laughed, and I said, you think it's funny? He said, yes, and you should think so, too. I said, how can I think it's funny when I want to cry? He said, well, cry. I said, but people will think I've lost my mind if they see me crying and laughing at the same time. He said, laughing through your tears will help you get through it.
He was right.
Yes,
very right,
he was really, absolutely right.
Okay. When was it that you really knew something was wrong with your husband? Is there a connection between the two slippers on the cover and the revelation of his illness?
Well, the two slippers on the cover represents the first episode that I went through with him that should have been a red flag. Yet I had pushed it in the very back of my mind. We went on a trip to Vegas, and during that trip, he wandered out. And when I went back to the room looking for him, I saw his shoes sitting at the elevator when I got off. And I said, well, they look like his, but anybody could have shoes like that. when in fact I got to the room and he was gone, and so were the shoes. I realized those were his, and especially when I got downstairs in the lobby and saw him wrapped in a towel at the front desk with a lot of people around him.
Okay, I understand, and what the connection between the two slippers on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give family members who are going along when caring for a loved one with dementia, Alzheimer's, and at what point should they seek outside intervention or maybe consider an assisted living or nursing home services?
Well, I wrote the book in order for readers to take a journey with me from beginning to almost end so that they would recognize the early warning signs that I didn't see because I immediately went into denial. I didn't want to believe that this wonderful man that I had been married to for all these years was no longer going to even know me, let alone recognize me. And I would say that early detection and early seeking of help will definitely ease the strain on the person who has to be the caregiver.
Okay. It is often said that writing your pain is like a release. How has this novel been a release for you? And would you recommend writing or journaling about your experience while going through the Alzheimer's experience as a release?
Yes. I am a playwright, but if I had never, ever written anything, I would advise keeping a journal, writing down what's going on. Because once you put it on paper and then you can read it back, you realize what's happening and you will realize how therapeutic it is for you to get it out and put it down, write it down, so that you remember certain things, and it'll be easier for you to accept once you write it. And like I said, writing is very therapeutic and will help you in more ways than one to get through what you're actually going through when you're taking care of someone who is actually may not even know, remember that you are who you are.
Okay. So when you go to the nursing home to check on the level of care, let's say your husband was receiving, what advice would you give for those who may have loved ones suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's in a nursing home? What should they be looking for in the nursing home before they put their relatives in a nursing home or assisted living?
Well, I think it's very important for them to go to the nursing home and speak with the administrator, look and see what the staff looks like, take a tour of the facilities, see what kind of care the residents who are already residing there are getting, and checking out every care that your loved one is going to get, type of food is going to get, he or she is going to get. And above all, you want to know the administrator. You want to let them know that this is someone who's very important to you and you love them and you want the best possible care for them. And then you have to be there often so that they see you, so that they know you are concerned about your loved one, because if you're not concerned, believe me, the people that care may not be concerned either.
Stand in. Is there one main point that you would like your readers to walk away with after reading Laughing Through the Tears?
I would like them to walk away with the fact that that person is still in that body. And that once you know or you see that that person has been diagnosed or learn the early detection that will take place, and once you see it, then seek help, seek all of the things that are available to that person and to you as caregiver, and continue to love that person within that body. And really remember that a strong spiritual foundation will also help.
Okay. How long did your husband live with Alzheimer's?
Well, he was diagnosed when he was in his early 70s, like 70, 71, and he lived to be 84. So he was living quite a while with it, but I didn't detect it. He was diagnosed, but I didn't accept it until he was midway through it. And that's important, because had I accepted it sooner, I would have gotten the help that might have eased the pain that I went through in caring for him.
Okay. I understand that. So it's obvious that you and your husband, you know, were in love, but I can tell by the tone of your voice. So I think that's a wonderful thing.
In fact, believe me, I couldn't have been more in love with my husband. And even after 35 years, when you read the book, you will know that we were on a never-ending honeymoon. We raised our three children, and we still loved each other. That's why it was so hard for me, because I loved this man, and I knew he loved me. And he had promised to take care of me. And I just knew he was going to keep that promise.
Okay. So we're going to take a break. Listeners, we have on Show Talk with Angela Butler, Miss Christine Houston, the author of Laughing Through the Tears. And next we're going to talk about her career, her writing career. So stay tuned. We're going to take a short break. I'm going to come back.
A special event can be very challenging and stressful at times. Our staff of professionals organizes your event down to every last detail, no matter what size. Our creativity and attention to detail turns your ordinary party into an extraordinary event. And Decline provides world-class service. We coordinate quality events. We can provide travel arrangements, accommodations, event sites, caterers, chorus, photographers, transportation, hairstylist and makeup artists, daily itineraries, and pre-event information such as detailed maps, save-the-date cards, and invitations. Being a custom event planner means that we cater to you. It is our job to find the best possible way to present your event. We have been referred to as Dreamweavers.
Searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere. Let's get down to business. So you're having that company function or business function, and you need the proper services to get that business menu pumped. Okay, here's the solution. Call Exquisite Barista Services. Exquisite Barista Services has the experience to create a signature beverage for your business or organization. Services also include barista training, custom beverage menu creation, food and beverage pairing, and so much more. Visit Exquisite Barista Services online at www.exquisiteexpressinc.com, or better yet, call 210-701-0143. That's 210-701-0143. Don't take your chances on the other man. Get that grand plan and choose Exquisite Barista Services.
This is Raquel Charles reminding you to listen to Show Talk with Angela Butler to catch the hottest interviews.
All right, listeners, you're still listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Went to break for a little bit. On Show Talk with Angela Butler, we have Ms. Christine Houston, the author of Laughing Through the Tears, and also the creator of the hit sitcom with Ms. Marla Gibbs, 227. Ms. Christine, I'm going to read an excerpt from your press release, okay?
Okay.
It reads as follows. It reads as this. After years of marriage and motherhood, Christine attempted to reinvent herself by utilizing her GI Bill benefits to enroll in Kennedy King College to study theater technology. However, when a curious, much younger student asked Ms. Houston, "What is your major?" Christine replied, "Journalism." This impromptu declaration turned out to be a pivotal moment in her life. Okay, that's an excerpt from your press release. Okay, could you explain how answering this question changed the course of your life? What is your major?
When I replied that my major was journalism, the student said, "Oh, then write us a play. We go to a convention every year in the summer, and we've won all the contests for acting and extemporaneous speaking, but we have never won the prize of playwriting. We don't have anyone from our college to enter the playwriting contest. And since you're a journalism major and you write, could you write us a play?" And I remembered an instructor told me if I wanted to be successful, and the very first thing I write about something I know about. I had no intentions of writing for a career. I knew that if I had a wonderful childhood, and I decided to write these students a play about my childhood growing up in a building at 227 East 48th Street in Chicago. I wrote the play. It was entered into many contests, and it won the Norman Lear and the Lorraine Hansberry.
Very prestigious awards. What was it like growing up on 227 East 48th Street?
It was wonderful. I had a great childhood. I did not realize that we were poor, as one would put it. We had more than anybody else in the building. We were the first ones to have a television.
Okay.
And I had fun. My childhood was full of laughter and good times and fun. And so I decided to write about my childhood growing up in that building. And when I wrote about it, I wrote about all the people that I remember that lived. I had no intentions of writing comedy, but I am truly one who believes that there is humor in everything in everyday life. That's why I couldn't believe that when I wrote the book, Laughing Through the Tears, that I was writing about something that sad, I believed was really very helpful in getting through illness, just being able to laugh. And 227 was a comedy without me even realizing it.
Okay. Now, 227 East 48th Street, you're the creator of 227, the sitcom with Ms. Marla Gibbs and,
That's
her name is Jack Kay.
Yes, everybody remembers Jack Kay.
What was it like, how did you feel about 227 being picked up as a sitcom?
I was excited. I was exuberated. I could not believe it. It was wonderful to meet those actors, to be a part of working with them every day. Going to work was wonderful. I didn't give up my home in Chicago. I was able to lead two different lives. I did not relocate. I went to work in L.A. every Monday, And I came to Chicago on Friday when my work day was over. And I loved it. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Okay. All right. I used to watch that show all the time.
You sound young enough to have watched it.
I'm not that young. but I used to really like that show. And I'm just thrilled to have you on the phone, on the show and on the phone. All right. When did you discover that you had the gift of writing?
I never did. I couldn't believe it when it won the contest. Like I said, I never aspired to be a writer. I just know that I took lots of writing classes. I loved English when I was growing up in high school, and I loved it in college. And I went into the Air Force, and I did a little stand-up comedy there. But the only time that I had to write anything was when I was doing stand-up and I was writing my own material, trying to remember what I had said and done. But other than that, I never, ever dreamed that I would be a writer until 227, and I called it 227 because that's the way we said our address. When they brought it to television, they changed it to the numbers. But when I wrote the play, I wrote it in words, 227. And I never dreamed that it would go anywhere. I was just writing it because the students had asked me to do so.
Oh, okay. All right, so you were a journalist major, but you didn't intend to write it.
I really wasn't. Angela, I lied.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to be an actress. But I was 42 years old, living in Chicago, going back to school to prove a point to my three sons rather than beat them up like I wanted to. I was trying to let them know that education was very, very important and they should stay in school. And I decided to teach them by doing. So I went back to school. So I never aspired to write. I wasn't a journalist major. I was majoring in theater technology, hoping that one day I could get on the stage and act. And as it turned out, I became a writer.
Okay. All right. That's great. I know there are a lot of people who would like to go back to college. So the words you said are probably very much an inspiration to them. What was it like writing for Punky Brewster and the Jeffersons? And were
that
you there on set? Okay, go ahead.
Writing for the Jeffersons was part of my prize after winning the Norman Lear. And it was very wonderful because he paid all my expenses for me to come to L.A. and stay 2 weeks and learn how to write a teleplay for the Jeffersons. I got to meet all of the actors on that show, Isabel Sanford, Sherman Hensley, all of them, and Marla Gibbs. And then writing for Punky Brewster was really real because I was a staff writer on a show, the only black writer on that show.
All
so
right.
I really enjoyed that.
So I guess I could say that you tore down some barriers and that the younger people who are writing, you know, I guess staff writers can thank you for that because you broke down some barriers by just being talented.
I'm not going to take all the blame for that.
Okay.
There was a young girl from Gremlin State University who I met the year that the students asked me to write the play, and the play won the contest they wanted me to write. At that convention, I met a young black girl from Gremlin University named Judy Ann Mason. She was the first Norman Lear winner when he first created the contest. She won it. She was black. Okay. She wrote a play called Living Fat, and she won it. I met her that year. She encouraged me, and I was much older than her. She encouraged me to write that play, and I wrote the play the following year and entered it, but there was another young man, a black guy, who won was the second Norman Lear writer. And Norman Lear believed in utilizing the winner's talent. He put Judy Ann Mason on Good Times, which was his first black endeavor. And he put Michael Moyer on Different Strokes. He was on Good Times also, but he moved him as executive producer of Different Strokes. And I was the third Norman Lear winner. So I can't take credit for having people come following my footsteps. What I can take credit for is that my play was the first play written by an African American to become a television series.
There were people
before me who paved the way for me.
Okay.
And they were younger than me.
Oh, okay. What was it like working with the legendary Norman Lear?
He was the most wonderful man that I met. And he is the cause of me being who I am and what I am today. He started it. When I won his contest, he brought me out to L.A. He put me on his different shows to write story ideas. He put me in touch with Alex Haley to write a show with him, which was a total honor. And I can't say enough for Norman Lear. And I just pray that wherever he is right now, watching over him and taking care of him, because he certainly was in a lot of African-American people's and helped promote their career.
All right. Okay. Ms. Houston, you currently teach writing for television at Chicago State University. What is it that you try to instill in your students to be successful television writers?
First of all, to be any kind of writer, I tell them all the things that they need to know and what type of writer they have to be in order to write anything. But more than that, I always instill in them, whatever it is you want to do in life, have a dream and don't ever let anyone tell you that dreams are for children. Dreams are for the dreamer. And whoever the dreamer is wakes up each day and realizes that they were given another chance to go forward and try to bring that dream into a reality. Always, always have a dream and work hard at trying to bring it to fruition.
You are right about that. You're very right about that. What are some of the pitfalls that writers should avoid?
Avoid allowing people to tell you you can't write, you can't do that. Avoid allowing yourself to fall into the category of a person who puts off in the mode of not being able to function or focus on what it is that you're writing. And I would say that they must never fall into the pitfall of not writing something every single day.
Okay. All right. Can you tell us about some of your theatrical productions? And do you have any more sitcoms in the works?
I'm writing a sitcom, which is similar to 227. It's about the building, 227, and what actually happened with all the people who left the building, and the building still has that address. What is going on? Because I thought about it a couple of times about the building that I live in now, and I wondered, this building has been sitting here for a long time, and a lot of different families have lived in this very apartment that I live in. And I said, if this apartment had the walls could talk, it could tell you about all the different families that ever lived in this apartment. So I want to talk about this building and who's in it now, today, and what are their aspirations. And I call it, I entitle it Aspirations, because everybody should aspire, like the dreamer, aspire to do something. And when we look at a building and see what all the different families that lived in there, we're certain to see what they all individually aspired to do. I also am doing the original play that the television series was based on, going to open on May 29th in Chicago, and it will be done at a neighborhood, a community theater. I will be directing it. So if anyone visits Chicago in May, from May to August in 2014, they need to come and see this production that hopefully might even end up on Broadway.
Oh, okay. All right. That is a goal and, you know, and a dream. And you're right about dreamers. Because I'm one of those people who like to dream, too. But I also work hard at things, so. No, I know.
Whatever your dream is, you need work hard, and that dream will come to fruition.
Okay. So can you tell us about what it's like being published, and what is the publishing process like?
It is so wonderful. Being published, it is very hard. Most writers nowadays are being self-published, and it is really a journey to go through self-publishing. I was determined that I wasn't going to do it, but in order to not self-publish, you have to have a publisher come to you, and that means you have to have a little bit of fame and notoriety so that they will be seeking to publish your work. Well, that didn't happen for me. I seeked out a publishing company, but I was still determined not to self-publish because I was too old, and I didn't have a car to sell books out of the trunk of my car. But God led me to a wonderful publishing company, a small company, who couldn't afford to just out and out publish me, but charge a small fee. And the people that were behind me paid that small fee, and the publisher was so enthralled in my work. He has worked tirelessly as a publisher, and he's almost like an agent because he's gotten book signing, he's promoting the book, he does all the things that a big publishing company would do. And he's a very small publishing company. And I just pray for him every day that he will branch out and become a huge black publishing company.
That would be good for that to happen, you know, and for him to become a huge black publishing company. Mr. Woods, he's the one that, wanted you to come on my show and everything.
Yes, he's my publisher, Dr. Dennis Wood, and he is one hell of a publisher. He really is. And I would sing his praises wherever I go, because he has promoted my book and he has done things above what he really set out to do for me. And I thank him. I'll be eternally grateful. He's a great publishing company. And I'm hoping one of the things that I'm going to do in 2014 is to let all new writers self-publish to go to his company, because he's really not what you call your average self-publishing company.
Okay. So, Ms. Christine, we're winding down the interview. I have one more question. Can our listening audience
go on Amazon.com and purchase a book? They can also email me, and I will send them a book. They email me and get my address, and they send me the money. I will send them the book, and I will be a lot cheaper than Amazon. The book costs $20, and that's all they will have to pay if they go to SugarDoo, SugarDoo, 227 at yahoo.com. Once they email me that they want a book and let me know where they want it sent, or I let them know where to send the check, then they will get a book.
Okay. All right. Well, Ms. Christine Houston, it's been a pleasure interviewing you. I feel blessed by just having you on my online radio show, and I wish you much success, and maybe one day I'll be able to come see your theater play.
Okay, and I would like to get your address if you call me back. I would like to send you a book. Did you get one yet?
Ma'am?
Did you get a book yet?
On Amazon, I did. But if you want to give another one, I'll be glad. I'll take it.
I'll autograph it and send it to you. My pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Houston. I really appreciate that. My mom likes to read a lot, too, so I know she'll enjoy reading your book also.
Okay. And if I'm ever in the New York area, that's where you are based?
No, ma'am. I'm in Florida, near Tallahassee, Florida.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, Tallahassee. I had an aunt from Tallahassee, Florida.
Okay.
Is that not the capital?
Yes, ma'am. It's the capital of Florida. They have Florida State University and the historically black university, FAMU.
Okay. Well, if I'm ever going to come there, I sure will call you so that I can meet you face to face and enjoy where you are for a change.
Okay. All right. That would be nice. You are more than welcome to come, and call me up. If you don't have my number, then Mr. Woods will have it. Dr. Woods.
I have your number, and I will definitely call you.
All right. Well, thank you, Ms. Christine Houston. And once again, I really enjoyed watching 227.
Thank you.
And the Jeffersons to Hucky Brewster.
I pray something else will come on with my name on it, and you'll enjoy it, too.
Yes, because you're very talented. I mean, you're gifted by God. But I'm sure you've been told with all that before.
Yes, but, and I let them know where the gift comes from.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt, to tell people, how great they are. And so I'm telling you that in my eyes you are very great.
Thank you so much for the compliment. I owe it all to God.
I understand that. All right. Well, Ms. Houston, we're going to end the show. I thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler, and I'll be glad to give you a call after the show.
All right. Thank you. And everybody have a happy, happy holiday.
You too, Miss Houston. Have a good night.
Night-night.
All right, listeners, you've been listening to Miss author Christine Houston. She is author of the book Laughing Through the Tears. She is also the creator of 227. So any of you who used to watch the Jeffersons, Punky Brewster, she was a staff writer for them also. So she's told you where you can go to get her book, Laughing Through the Tears. And she's told you how 227 came to fruition. So I'm going to end the show after these commercials. But first I would like to say go out and buy Urban Spice magazine because I'm a writer for them, have been for a little while, and it's a great magazine. They even have a bikini centerfold in there for you men. So pick up a copy of Urban Spice magazine and read the magazine because it only costs $1.99 for each magazine. It's like $14 or $15 a year, and it's packed with information. Reginald Lewis and Terrell Wicker are the co-founders. So check out Urban Spice magazine, and please listen tomorrow night at Show Talk with Angela Butler, which will come up at the right time because at 6 o'clock I had some technical difficulties. So I had to start the show over again at 6:30. But tune in tomorrow night, and God willing, everything will go all right tomorrow with the site. And you'll be listening to Carla Mills, Miss Carla Mills. She had to show the Mills Connection. She's going to be talking about how she is a survivor of cancer and the things she has went through while dealing with disease. And, of course, you all know that sometime in January, President Obama's affordable health care insurance, you know, the deadlines and things. But we are going to talk about insurance, even though that law has passed and President Obama did a great thing, to me he did. We're still going to talk about what it's like not to have health insurance, because I don't know if many of you know it, but things like Medicaid and Medicare, I don't know how it's changed since the Affordable Care Act, but there are some drugs that Medicaid and Medicare at one point did not cover. So you're going to listen to her, Miss Carla Mills, with the award show, The Mills Connection, talk about what she did about insurance and some Georgia laws about jobs, about her job and different things like that, and how she was able to get her medication. So Carla Mills is an inspiration, and she's definitely a survivor. She's a beautiful person, too, inside and out. And I look forward to talking to her tomorrow night, and I ask that you all tune back in and listen to the show. Thank you very much, all of you who decided to listen. Have a blessed night. And I hope you all had a happy Thanksgiving. This concludes Show Talk with Angela Butler, except for the commercials. Good night, everyone.
Special events can be very challenging and stressful at times. Our staff of professionals organizes your event down to every last detail, no matter what size. Our creativity and attention to detail turns your ordinary party into an extraordinary event. And Decline provides world-class service. We coordinate quality events. We can provide travel arrangements, accommodations, event sites, caterers, florists, photographers, transportation, hairstylists and makeup artists, daily itineraries, and pre-event information such as detailed maps, save-the-date cards, and invitations. Being a custom event planner means that we cater to you. It is our job to find the best possible way to present your event. We have been referred to as Dream Weavers.
Searching for the link.
latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere.
Exquisite Express Incorporated specializes in designing signature solutions to help attract more business. Their creative designs through their associate company, Exquisite Designs, give everyday people insight on the latest fashion, food specialties, technology gadgets, and entertainment. Exquisite Designs also provides barista services through Exquisite Barista. You can read all about what they are doing in their digital and print magazine, Exquisite Fusion. Feel free to give us a call, 1-855-379-2540, 1-855-379-2540.
This is Raquel Charles reminding you to listen to Show Talk with Angela Butler to catch the hottest interviews.
Yeah.